Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And the countdown is on for the official release of the GOP tax overhaul plan, set to be unveiled November 1st. The House passed a joint budget resolution yesterday, which makes it legislatively possible to take up taxes. Here's House Speaker Paul Ryan after that vote.
This was an enormous step in the direction toward getting comprehensive tax reform and tax cuts for middle-class families over the line, into law. Done.
But there's a lot of questions about exactly who gets the cuts and how they're paid for. NPR congressional correspondent Susan Davis joins us now. And Susan, remind us, one reason passing the budget was important is because the budget says how much the tax cuts can be.
Essentially, yes. And it's a little wonky because, remember, a budget is not a law. It doesn't have to go to the president for its signature. But what it does is it essentially sets the rules for the tax legislation they're allowed to write. And they use this process, this specific process, because it creates a protected mechanism in the Senate that lets you pass a piece of legislation with just 50 votes. Normally in the Senate, you need 60 votes to overcome a filibuster. It's a way for Republicans to sort of circumvent Democrats in this process and lower the threshold to pass the bill later on. You don't have to use reconciliation to do a tax bill. They could have done this through a different process, but that would have required Democratic buy-in in the Senate. And I don't think Republicans are very confident that at the end of this, they're going to have many Democrats on board.
Well, there are also some budget hawks on the Republican side, because the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center estimates that the cuts that are planned, that are proposed, will go about $4 trillion over the amount that are allowed in the budget. So they're going to have to find a way to make that up. So let's start with some of the thinking on that. The trial balloon floated this week, which was shot down by President Trump's tweet, was about capping the amount of pre-tax money people could sock away in their 401k retirement plans. In other words, that amount of money would be greatly reduced from something like $18,000 to $2,400. Here's the president on Wednesday.
401ks to me are very important. And they're important because that's one of the great benefits to the middle class. I didn't want that to go too far. That's why I ended it very quickly.
Well, he says he ended it very quickly. He said, no, we're not going to cap those savings. But we're seeing some lawmakers say, well, actually, the change might still be on the table.
That's right. And some critical lawmakers, when it was put towards House Ways and Means Chairman Kevin Brady, he's a Republican from Texas. He is the chief writer of this bill. He was asked to respond to the president's tweets, and he wouldn't say that changes to 401k investments were off the table. He did not echo the president there. He did not say it will be. But the fact that he said it wasn't is what is leading to a lot of the speculation. I want to be careful here because we have not seen the tax bill. We do not know the details of what's in it. And it is also possible in some respects that they could potentially affect retirement deferred income. But does it come out in the wash because of the way they're looking to cut rates across the board? Mm. The point that the speaker said yesterday is that this is still geared at being a middle class tax cut. Now, what those numbers are going to be at the end, we're going to find out very soon. But the fact that those kind of issues are on the table, it's going to be a very interesting week. Because, again, I think what the president's speaking to there is when you start talking about people's retirements, their 401ks, you really start to you risk really making people concerned about this bill.
Right.
So you need to build some public support for this. And you start talking to people about lowering the thresholds for their retirement savings and people get really nervous.
Right.
But I don't think people should get too nervous until we really know what's in the bill.
Well, that's true of everything, including another idea that's reportedly floated, which would take away the federal tax deduction that people get on their state and local taxes. Now, this has some lawmakers in certain states up in arms because they've got higher taxes there and they want their people to have those deductions.
Yeah, specifically in states like New York and New Jersey. And we saw yesterday they passed the budget, but they lost about 20 Republicans voting against it. And those Republicans, a lot of them were coming from these higher tax states. It's just a really good example about when you're trying to do tax legislation that's this big and this ambitious, there are simply going to be winners and losers. Nobody walks away all winners. Some people are going to have to pay and some companies are going to have to pay more in taxes. And we don't know who they are yet. But this fight over the state and local tax deduction is a very good example. That's just one tiny example. There's other issues in there that other states may like and not like. But there will be losers. And I think that what is interesting is Republicans are pretty candid about that, that what they're trying to do, I mean, the overall macro push is to reduce tax rates and grow the economy. Yeah. But that also means that some people need to throw more money into the pot.
Well, and the biggest tax rate that the president seems to want to cut is the corporate tax rate. And a lot have wanted to do this, maybe bring some money that's gone overseas from corporations back home if the tax on it is lower. It's a bipartisan push. Does this seem likely?
So the big fight that you're going to see play out on the corporate, on the business side of this tax bill, and it's all in one piece of legislation, but the corporate side, they aim to reduce the corporate rate. But part of the way they're trying to get some of this business revenue raised is by going after those companies that you referenced that a lot of American companies shelter their profits overseas so they don't have to pay taxes on it. We don't know the mechanism that Republicans are trying to use. I think this is one of the more closely guarded details of the plan. But they want to direct some of that revenue back into this country. But other corporations could benefit because corporations, they call it the difference between a multinational that has lots of interests around the world and a purely domestic company. Domestic companies tend to pay higher tax rates, and people that can shelter money overseas pay lower tax rates. They want everybody to pay the same tax rate and level the playing field. But again, that leaves winners and losers. And if you're on the losing side of that equation, even if it makes a fairer tax code, there's still going to be a fight there.
Yeah. NPR congressional correspondent Sue Davis. Again, we do not know what the final bill will be, the proposal will be. We wait to see. Sue, thank you.
You're welcome.